the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I will tell you that I just returned from a very, very wonderful time of just getting away from everything. I went out into God's great earth, and I just spent some time getting away from everything in the world. Yeah, everything in the world. I just went out there to get away from the stuff that drives you crazy, drives me crazy, drives our neighbors crazy, makes insane people even more insane. And the source of all of that is the world itself. It's the world itself. Now, for those of you that believe that the Bible is God's truth, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. You totally get it. For those of you that haven't had an opportunity to read the Bible, that's okay. You can still get around to it. It's still out there. It'll be around. I mean, it's been around for thousands of years. It'll be around for a few more days, I'm sure. But more importantly, I think one of the things that you might be concerned about is how do we fix the world? How do we as people fix the world? And I will tell you, man, that's in the hard to do box. Matter of fact, it's in the almost too hard to do box. Actually, it's in the impossible box. You can't fix the world. I can't fix the world. There's billions of us on the planet. We're all human beings. We're all trying to do what we're trying to do to get ahead. Yeah, we all are. Every one of us does it. Now, the reason I bring this up is while I was away doing what I wanted to do, enjoying myself, staying away from all the pressures and all the impacts of the world, the one thing that hit me square in the face was the fact that I actually had to come back. I actually had to come back to my normal life because I can't just stay out there all by myself. I need support systems to maintain me. Otherwise, it gets really expensive, right? But ironically, I don't worry so much about those expenses. You see, I've actually gotten to a place in my life financially, right? I don't sweat the little costs. If I want to go a couple miles down the road and have lunch, I just go do it. I don't care that it costs me more to eat in a restaurant than it does for me to prepare food at home. If Mrs. Gordon wants to go up to Austin, Texas and see a concert, because I'll tell you what, Austin really has got some great musical venues up there. And I'm only about an hour and a half away. We just go do it. We just go get it done. We don't worry about what it costs. We just go do it. So when I decided I wanted to get away for a few days, I didn't sweat over the concept of how am I going to pay for this? Oh my goodness. Okay, so if I have to stay in a hotel and it costs this amount of money, what bill may I maybe not pay this month? That never crossed my mind. It never crossed my mind because one of the things that I did a little over 4 years ago was I changed my life. I changed my life from a financial standpoint. Now, I will tell you, if those of you that do read the Bible, it's pretty clear to you from the Bible that Jesus Christ does not care about your personal finances. It's very clear in the Bible that Jesus is not about your money. Jesus doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about the world's money. He doesn't. But you and I, we still have to live on this planet. Whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, you still have to live. You still have to operate in our economy. And that requires us trading time for money because that's how we do it nowadays, right? That's totally how we do it nowadays. And ironically, as we're trading time for money, we get ourselves into these little situations where we make agreements or we enter into contracts with other entities that, hey, I'll tell you what, do this for me. You provide me this and I'll make sure you get a monthly payment in return. Yeah, we do that with regards to paying for our lodging, wherever we're living, whether we're renting or we own. And even if you own your house free and clear, you're still paying taxes and insurance. And if you're not paying insurance, you need to think that through one more time, because that you should not take that risk on. Trust me, as far as that's concerned. The other thing that I think is very important you need to be aware of is that there was a time in my life when I worried a lot about money. And I would tell you the majority of that time occurred before a little over 4 years ago. Yeah, before a little, well, okay, let me just give you the actual date. So prior to July 2017, that's when I heard this radio show, different guy obviously was providing the show content. And I went to Lifestyles Unlimited and I listened to what they had to say. Because I'll tell you, I was desperate. I was in a financial situation where I was terribly worried about money. I was terribly concerned about money. I was so concerned about money, I was watching money pour out of my checking account faster than it was coming in. And it was a very difficult time in my life. It was a feeling of sadness and failure. And boy, I could give you a whole bunch of other descriptive adjectives, but I really just don't want to beat myself up that much. So in July of 2017, I'd had enough. That was it. I got to go listen to what this guy, Del Walmsley, is talking about. I have to go listen about everything Del Walmsley put together in his financial freedom seminar. And you're thinking, okay, who's Del and what is this seminar? Okay, Del Walmsley is the founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited. He founded the organization 31 years ago in Houston, Texas. And because of his efforts 31 years ago, a guy like me, who 31 years ago was in the Army stationed, I think somewhere in California, who had never heard of Del Walmsley, retired out of the Army, came to Texas and found himself in a financial quagmire, had to go back into the workforce, only to find that he was going to have to work in cubicle hell to the age of 70. And then along came Del Walmsley. And I will tell you, Del Walmsley, he changed my life too. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about some of the things that may be bothering you. Stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So when I got back from my trip, of course, what did I do? I do what you do. I mean, I go into my email and I go, oh, I've got about a couple days worth of stuff here I haven't bothered to read because I turned off my phone. I didn't want to be bothered by anybody. I really didn't. I wanted to be out there doing what I wanted to do without the external forces of the world impacting me. And I realized that maybe in your current situation in your life, you don't have the ability to do that. And I'm not saying that you don't have enough money to do that. What I'm saying is you may not have the ability to turn off that phone. At one time in my life, back when we were transitioning out of the pager era into the cellular phone era, you remember that way back then, right? Yeah, that was a long time ago. The country started to transition how it would communicate. And all of a sudden, personal communication became the rage. All of a sudden, we weren't tied to a cord that was attached to the wall. We could move out and about. So we had these pagers. So how did a pager work for you younger people? Okay, it's real simple. You would call a specific phone number that somebody gave you. That would be their pager telephone number. And when you called that, you would enter on your tone phone, because there were still rotary dial phones in existence back then. I don't think it worked with a rotary phone, but you had to have a touch tone phone. When you put in your phone number, the pager system recognized those numbers and then transmitted that information across the airwaves, and somehow it found your pager, and all of a sudden your pager would beep. It would go beep, 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 beep. And all of a sudden you'd look up and you'd be like, yeah, man, I'm the coolest dude in the room. I just got a page. Yeah. Cause trust me, when pagers came out, that was the rage. That was the newest big thing. And then pagers were replaced by cell phones. These ginormous cell phones. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff that you're carrying around right now, which is really a full-blown computer. Let's be honest, what you're carrying around in your pocket. Now, these cell phones, we used to call them bricks, because when you picked up the suitcase that contained all the stuff that made that phone work, it was like picking up a brick. It was heavy. It was heavy. And then we replaced the suitcase phones and these massive car phones that literally like bolted in. They were about as big as a small suitcase that would bolt into your car. Motorola came out with these next generation cell phones that, you know, were probably, I don't know, about the size of your shoe. Yeah, but not the Maximal Smart kind from Get Smart. Yeah, you older guys know what I'm talking about. Where I'm trying to go with all this, guys, and I don't want to give you a complete history of cellular communications. I don't want to do that. What I do want to do is I want to communicate to you that things that occur today don't necessarily reflect how things worked in the past. See, when I was serving in the military and all those great communication things were coming out, the military resisted that stuff because the first thing the military recognized was they couldn't control the flow of information. In other words, you couldn't control the flow of information, and that's important because you don't want the bad guys hearing what you're talking about or typing about or any of that stuff. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff, like, you know, it's kind of like what we have today with all the malware and the viruses that fly around the computers, right? So the military was smart enough to realize that that kind of stuff could potentially happen with cellular communications. We didn't use things like that. And when we finally did get to the point where we brought cellular technology onto the battlefield, it was so massively encrypted, half the guys that had to operate that stuff couldn't figure it out 90 times out of 10. Yeah. Yeah, you heard me, Craig. I said 90 times out of 10. Yeah, because that's how frustrating it was. But over time, I made it to a place in my career where I took command of a unit. I became a battalion commander. And you know what they did? They handed me my BlackBerry. For the first time in my military career, sometime, I don't know, around 2008, 2007, I was handed a BlackBerry. And at that point, my life was at the beck and call of anybody who had that number. And trust me, anybody who outranked me, they had that number. And anybody that worked directly for me that had to communicate something to me quickly, they had that number too. And did they use that number? Yes, they did. Did they strictly use it from, say, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday? No, not even close. And I guarantee you, you're probably experiencing that same type of situation, except in today's digital age, it's coming to you in 90 different directions. It's coming from social media. It's coming from email. It's coming from texting. It's coming from those cell phones. You're getting bombarded with information. And I know what that information can do to you. I know how it can like pollute your mind. And there are times that I just have to get away. I've got to step away from everything that I'm doing to go clear my head. And fortunately for me, I have arrived at a place in my life where I can do that at my whim. I choose when I want to go. I choose how long I want to go. Now, I do get permission from Mrs. Gordon. Trust me, I am not that foolish. But having said that, I ask her, hey, you want to go with me? Because what's really neat about my current life is I actually get to spend time with my spouse. I actually get to spend time getting to know her better. Because in the earlier stages of my marriage with her, hey, I was in a military career. And that was pretty cool for the first part of our marriage, you know, before kids. Because, you know, first of all, we weren't at war. So I had a little extra time. Second of all, I didn't have kids. So all of my available time, I could focus on her. And then over time, we had kids. And that was like totally cool. We were like, oh, we've got these beautiful babies. This is awesome. And then 9/11 happened. And my world went on overload. It went on overload. I had zero control of my own time. I was doing literally three jobs at once because that's what happens when the country gets attacked and the military has to respond. And over the rest of my entire military career, that same exact experience occurred up until the point where I retired. And you would think when you retire, I mean, what's the concept of retirement, right? Retirement is you can do what you want. Everything is fine. And if you have a pension like I have, there's money. Everything will be great. And the lie about the pension is this. It only pays me one third of what I used to make when I was on active duty. So if you're like I was, you're probably taking the majority of the money that you're earning and you're spending it. And I'm guessing you're not spending it on a lot of lavish stuff. Now, I know some of you guys are spending it on lavish stuff because I know guys like you. But I think the majority of you are just doing what you need to do to keep everything going. So the concept of weaning off where you're at is a difficult concept. But I've got some insider information for you. As a matter of fact, there is a way to get you to a place of retirement in the next 5 years. When we come back from the break, I might even mention it to you. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. I was reviewing a IBD TIP Economic Optimism Index poll this morning. Yeah, because while I was away, not paying attention to the world, when I came back, I realized that the world, well, it just kept kind of going on. So I started plugging back into some of my information sources this morning just to tune back in with, you know, the reality of the world, right? And this particular poll result came across my desk and I thought, wow, this is actually a good representation of what's going on in America. So let me just give you a little excerpt from this poll that they did. They determined that the consumer, that would be like you, me, everybody else that buys stuff. Yeah, we're all consumers. We all consume stuff. Consumer spending drives two-thirds of the economy. Two-thirds of the economy. That means if we all stopped spending money, this economy would literally implode. It would implode because that's the way our economic engine works. And spenders, or I should say consumers, that are optimistic about things, what they're willing to do is they're willing to go out and they're willing to buy big ticket items. Now, if you've ever taken an economics course in your life, you've heard this concept before. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard, but if you've never taken an economics course, maybe what I'm about to share with you, it's a foreign concept. So listen up. When consumers are optimistic about the economy, they're willing to buy things that are considered big ticket items. Yeah, big ticket items. Okay, so what kind of, are we talking about like a chainsaw or something? No. I'm talking about buying a car or maybe doing some major home improvement remodeling. Yeah, I mean, we're going to like add a bedroom, or maybe we're going to like gut the kitchen or something like that. Or maybe you're just going to get rid of the old house and get another house. Or maybe you're going to buy, I don't know, a yacht. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. My point is this. When you spend money on something that if you were to pay cash for, you would literally have to trade a lot of your time for the cash to pay for that item. What we tend to do as consumers is we tend to go out and take out loans, and we're willing to pay some interest for the lending of the money to us so that we can acquire the item, so that we can put the item into service now, as opposed to, you know, like waiting 5 years to save up the money to buy a car, only to find out at the end of the 5 years that maybe the cars are more expensive and you didn't save enough money. Yeah. So you buy today, right? You buy today, you lock in today's pricing, right? You go to Mr. Lender and you say, Mr. Lender, will you loan me for this item? And Mr. Lender says, absolutely, I will. And I will, since you've got great credit, I'm going to give you a great interest rate. And this is going to be your monthly payment. So what do? You program that monthly payment into your spending plan every month. And then you move out smartly, doing all the things that you're doing. And that works fine. It works fine when the consumer's mentality is optimistic. But what happens? What happens if consumers start becoming pessimistic? What happens if the opposite occurs? Now, if you thought that you were in danger of losing your job maybe in the next 6 months or a year, would you go out and buy another house? Or would you go out and buy a car? You may forego those purchases now, knowing that what you have is useful enough for you, and you're not willing to maybe commit to a larger expense in the future. Or you may be in a situation where the situation is driving you. And here's where I'm going. This is what the poll reported. Americans are concerned about paying bills and making ends meet. That's the first line in the report. Bam, in your face, right there. Americans are concerned about paying bills and making ends meet. When people think like that, do you think that they're going to go out and buy the next generation of vehicle for their family? Probably not. Do you think that they are potentially willing to sell the home that they live in right now and trade up for a bigger, more expensive home? Chances are they're not thinking about that. As a matter of fact, people that maybe pay me $1,500 a month for one of my beautiful homes that I provide to them, they may be thinking about upgrading. Maybe they're thinking about having a family. I actually have a family that lives in one of my houses. They're thinking about expanding their family. And ironically, you know, there's only three bedrooms in the house. They're thinking maybe they're going to need four when the new baby comes. We've actually had this conversation. We have. And they're thinking about, at the end of the lease, moving into a four-bedroom house. But do you think they'd be willing to do that? Or do you even think that they would bring another child into their household if they're concerned about paying their bills and making ends meet? And I would submit to you, probably not. I don't know how you would react, but I'm a little cautious economically. I am very, very conservative when it comes to financial things. Super uber conservative when it comes to financial things. Here's some of the other things that struck me as problematic to our economy and everything that's going on in the economy right now. Inflation. I've been bringing up inflation for the last couple of weeks. I know Del Walmsley's talked about it on his show. And here's the problem. Inflation increases the costs of goods and services, but it doesn't increase anything else. It doesn't increase your paycheck. It doesn't increase the amount of money coming into your household. It just increases the cost. It's in my opinion, it's like an added tax. That's exactly what it is. It's more money coming out of your pocket that's not giving you any additional utility. Hey, you like the way I threw that economics term in there? Yeah, I felt pretty good about it myself. IBD TIP economic poll essentially said that they believe that each household, the average dollar amount that inflation is going to bring to each household is probably about an additional $175 per month, potentially up to $175 per month in increased cost to your household because of inflation. Now, some of you are thinking, dude, I make six figures, $175. That ain't no big thing to me. I can absorb that. I got it going on. Okay, I get that. But what happens? What happens when that concern about paying bills and making ends meet ripples through your company and maybe your CEO goes, yeah, you know what, guys, inflation is kind of affecting us. The cost of all the stuff that we buy to make all the stuff that we sell, not keeping up with the fact that our pricing is moving up, but it's not moving up as fast. And as such, we might have to let some of these guys go, but don't tell anybody. I'll make my cuts on Friday. That stuff happens. So those of you out there with those nice six-figure jobs, I hope you keep them. I'm not saying you're going to lose them. That's not where I'm going. That's not even where I'm going. But if $175 bothers a guy like me, I think it should be bothering a guy like you, too. When we come back from the break, I'll explain why.
Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started in 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. I know I got to explain myself, don't I? All right. Well, here it is. It's right here. The poll that I've been citing from IBD TIP specifically states this. Fears of an economic recession are running high. Yeah, it says right there, fear. Fear is one of the most powerful emotions in the world. Behind love. That's the way I see it. But fear of an economic recession, it's running high in this country. Americans are potentially staring at what's called protracted stagflation. Now, I don't want to get on these economic terms. These are terms that IBD TIP used, and I don't want to get into that. This is not an economics class, okay? The point is this. The Federal Reserve can no longer sell inflation as something called transitory, meaning, it's kind of out there, but it's so low, it doesn't even bother you. Don't worry about it. Really, it's not making a big dent. Well, the cat's out of the bag. Because once they told all the Social Security recipients in this country, they were getting a 5.9% raise. That right there reinforced the fact that everything's costing more. So if we have to pay our Social Security recipients almost 6% more, the reason for that is the government has measured the cost of goods and services, and the government has determined that those costs of goods and services has gone up 6%. That's the way it works. Now, Americans believe that prices are likely to increase for the foreseeable period. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? Yeah, Americans believe that prices are likely to increase for the foreseeable period. Stop right there. Think about what I just said. Americans believe. They believe. Americans believe that prices are going up. And if they believe that prices are going up, what's going to keep prices from going up? People expect it now, right? So we might as well just go ahead and rise those prices. Let those prices go up. Now, some companies might go a little bit beyond that. But not all companies are like that. But here's the problem. Over two-thirds, actually 69% of the respondents to this poll said they plan to cut back on holiday gifts because of inflation. Wow. Plan to cut back on holiday gifts because of inflation. You know what that means? That means the cost of living has gone up, but your paycheck has not. Has there been any discussion around the water cooler about raises? Has there been any discussion about, you know, hey, that guy got promoted last week and this guy's got getting promoted and that guy's lined up and I might be next? Okay, that's, people are still getting promoted out there. But we're still in a kind of a weird place in our country because of coronavirus and because how the government is handling all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, look at all the polls that are also out there. Look at the polls that talk about the confidence in our government, the confidence in our leaders. You know, America voted for change and America got change. Now, it's not probably the change they thought they were going to get, but they certainly got the change that they wanted. There's one more. I tell you, I don't even know if I want to read this line to you because I think it's dangerous to say this. But Robert Kiyosaki's been saying it for, I don't know, I've seen probably three or four different articles over the last month and a half that's quoted Robert Kiyosaki. And this line from this poll reinforces everything Kiyosaki is saying. All right, I'll just read it to you. Some financial experts think, in other words, they have think boldened and underlined. So it's opinion. Okay, this is opinion. But I will tell you, when the tip IBD folks, or I should get it correctly, the IBD tip people put information in their reports, there's a reason for it. They're stating that some financial experts, quote unquote, think that the United States stock market is in a magnificent bubble. Even crazier than 1929. They said it. I didn't. I may have alluded to it last week, but in the same breath, I also would say I do not want that to happen to you. I don't want you to be damaged by the stock market. I think that is a terrible thing when that happens. But I will also tell you in the same breath that that's where all your money's at. It's like going to Vegas, man. It is like going to Vegas and you're letting it ride. And if the stock market crashes, you're going to crash with it. Now, if you have enough time to allow that stock market to recover, you're probably going to be okay. But if you're like my buddy Bruce, that is, and I've mentioned Bruce on this show, have I not? Because I talked to you about Bruce 2 weeks ago. Because Bruce was struggling with the stock market because he's 1 week away now. 1 week away from turning 59 and a half. And I'll tell you what, I don't think the guy's got any fingernails left. I really don't. You know? And then you start reading stuff like this. Bruce is like, now this is a man that, you know, I would say he could chew razor blades up. And he'd be fine. That's the calm of this man. That's the patience of this man. But I will tell you this right now, this is an unbearable week for him because he's watching the stock market and he is praying that it does not disappoint him before he can get his money out of it while it's still where it's at. But if guys like Kiyosaki are right, and all of your money is in the stock market, and you're within 5 years of retirement, What do you think that's going to do to your retirement game plan? Huh? Or worse, let's say a year ago, you said, you know what? Stock market's doing great. I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. Matter of fact, I'm one of these guys that was in an article that Al read that said, hey, all these 50-somethings, I mean, they're making bank in the stock market. They're retiring early. Okay. I think that's pretty awesome. Be honest with you, for those of you that were able to retire in your 50s off the stock market, something I couldn't do, I think that's awesome. But where's your money right now? Is it in the stock market? Is it still in the stock market? Are you just taking distributions and letting everything else sit there? What are you doing? And what happens if the market does what guys like Robert Kiyosaki thinks it's supposed to do? Then what? How does that affect your retirement strategy? Do you have to go back to work? Now, how hard is it going to be to get back into the workforce at your age? Oh, and after the fact, you took, you know, a year off. Trust me, as a guy that tried to do that in my 50s, who was literally forced to take almost a year off because that's how long it took me to find a replacement job, it's not easy. Now, if you've got a very specialized skill set, you're in the minority and you're going to have a better chance. But guys like me, not so much. And if you're like me, yeah, this could be a poison pill. So what do? Well, I think what you do is you put your money into real estate. But before you put your money into real estate, I think you need to understand how real estate works. I think you have to understand that real estate is going to pay you five different ways, technically six ways. We're talking about multifamily real estate. And I'm not talking about putting your money in office. I'm not talking about putting your money into industrial or, hey, you know, the hotels were having a real hard time the last 18 months. We could probably buy one cheap. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real estate where people live. Because come on, guys, open your eyes. The last 18, 19 months, where was everybody? One of two places, right? Well, okay, technically three. So during the lockdown, remember, you had to stay home. So that's probably where you were. Now, if you were considered somebody who was, what did they call those? Essential workers? Oh, yeah, not everybody was classified essential. So if you were an essential worker, you went to your job and you came right back home. Now, the third place you could go to was maybe the grocery store because, yeah, even the government realizes you have to eat too. Things are changing, though. Things are changing. And I think once you realize the significance of how important having a home is to members of our society, I think you'll understand that that's the best asset class of all. And whether you want to do single family or multifamily, it really doesn't matter. Both of those have their merits. One's better in one lane, the other's better in the other lane. That's Al's opinion. But they're both great. They're both functional. They're both competent ways for you to make money. Now, I'm about ready to hit you with something that's going to make you go, what did he just say? When it comes to real estate, we make money in up markets, and we make money in down markets. Now, you're probably wanting me to unpack that, aren't you? You're kind of like going, nah, man, that's not how it works. Well, trust me, man, that's the way it works. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do to prove it to you, I'm just going to do tomorrow's show on that particular topic. So tune in tomorrow, listen to what I've got to say. And in the meantime, if you're just ready to get started, go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Sign up for one of our free workshops, and you'll beat me to the punch.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.